Chapter 14, Betsy.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when it comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay.
Betsy, with her rosy red cheeks that blushed easily, was the friendliest of all the girls at Miss Pearl's parlor. She oohed and cooed at every little thing a man said to her. With her warm smile and southern charm, Betsy went out of her way to make the men feel welcome. The way Betsy would throw back her head and lay her hand on her chest when she laughed naturally made people smile. Only those who knew her well knew that the more Betsy was laughing, the more pain she was trying to hide. Elizabeth Ann Smith, named after her grandmother, was born in Beckton, Kentucky, a small farming community outside of Bowling Green. Everyone called her Betsy. The only girl in her family, Betsy had five brothers, three older and two younger. Her family raised their own food and farmed wheat, tobacco, and corn. Every morning, Betsy woke up at 4 o'clock to help her mother fix a big, hearty breakfast while her father and her brothers did their early morning chores. There were cows to milk and pigs to feed. Betsy was in charge of feeding chickens and gathering eggs in the hen house. Living in the country was the only life Betsy had known. She attended church every Sunday and sang in the church choir. Betsy loved to cook and had a wall full of blue ribbons for baking the best pies and cakes at the local county fairs. Her mother had taught her to raise a vegetable garden as well as how to be a talented seamstress. Sometimes Betsy sketched pictures of the rolling hills of Kentucky. She especially liked drawing old barns. Betsy attended a one-room schoolhouse and was fond of history and reading novels about faraway places that she dreamed about visiting someday. Good farmers have a genuine understanding of nature because their survival is so connected to the land. Growing up in a farming community, Betsy understood the importance of sharing and helping neighbors in times of need. When a new baby arrived or somebody's loved one had died, people brought food to the family's home. When a barn burned down or a home was damaged by a tornado or a bad storm, the men arrived with tools and supplies for a barn building party. The women made sure everyone who participated was fed and had plenty to drink. Everyone in the community knew each other, and because of country store gossip, most people knew everybody's business as well. Summer was Betsy's favorite time of year. Behind the farmhouse, the family had a 5-acre pond loaded with catfish, brim, and crappie that made a great place for fishing and swimming. On the bank of the pond was a giant oak tree with a swinging rope hanging from a huge branch that reached over the water. Betsy looked forward to that first refreshing splash the day school let out. The coolness of the water marked the beginning of those hot summer days of playing on the swing and the good times the neighborhood kids shared, laughing and teasing each other. Sometimes the boys challenged other neighborhoods in the county to baseball games. Although they were unaware of it at the time, the kids in Kentucky were creating happy memories that stayed with them all their lives. Johnny Wayne Harper, who was 2 years older than Betsy, lived on a farm close by. His mother had grown up with Betsy's mother, and they were best friends. Johnny Wayne was friends with Betsy's brothers, and they attended the same school and church together. Johnny Wayne knew without a doubt he was in love with Betsy in the second grade. He loved the way she giggled, and every day he tried to think of ways to make her laugh. Seeing Betsy smile was Johnny Wayne's greatest joy, Sometimes he brought her presents, like a flower or a pretty stone he found on the way to school. Betsy always gave him the sweetest smile when he gave her a gift. It was music to his ears. One day in the second grade, he gave her a pink rose, and Betsy kissed Johnny Wayne on the cheek. He didn't wash his face for over a week. When Betsy was 10 years old and he was 12, Johnny Wayne proclaimed his never-ending love for Betsy by carving "Johnny Wayne loves Betsy" inside a giant heart on the trunk of the huge oak tree they had come to know as a friend. After carving his masterpiece, Johnny Wayne took her hand, kissed it, and then gently held it to his heart.
"I love you, Betsy. Someday we'll get married, and I'll take good care of you. I promise."
Johnny's voice was sincere. He presented her with a ring that he had woven out of grass.
"One day I'll give you a ring made out of real gold, Betsy. You are my sweetheart forever."
Betsy looked at him and smiled, that sweet Betsy smile he had come to love so much.
"Thank you, Johnny Wayne. It's beautiful."
Thelma Jane was Betsy's best friend. She lived with her grandmother but spent so much time at Betsy's house, it was almost like having a sister. Sometimes they shared secrets.
"One day, I'm going to travel the world, Thelma Jane."
"What are you talking about, Betsy? Everyone knows you're going to marry Johnny Wayne and probably have a mess of kids."
"You'll see. I will visit castles and beaches and..."
"Yeah, right. And I'm an Egyptian princess."
Betsy continued reading books about faraway places. She had never been more than 25 miles from the family farm until one day when she was 17 years old and begged her father to go with him on a trip to Louisville. He sometimes worked 3 months at a time for $1 a day as a blacksmith, building flat cars for the railroad. The boys took care of the farm while he was away. Betsy's father had a brother in Louisville who built flat cars for the railroad there. Her father stayed at his house when he went to the city to work.
"Please, Daddy, I won't get in the way. I promise. I'll help Aunt Jane with chores and..."
"All right, Betsy. I'm sure your mama can manage without you for a few weeks. Besides, now that you've graduated, it might be time for you to have a glimpse of the big city."
Betsy was always a daddy's girl, and her father had a hard time telling her no. Betsy was never more excited in her life. She gasped when they pulled into Union Station. As they drove to her uncle's home, Betsy was amazed at how close the buildings were. She saw grand Victorian homes with stained glass windows and buildings 15 to 20 stories high. The Ohio River was nearly half a mile wide, which was so different from the small creeks and the barren river back home.
"Oh, Daddy, thank you so much. Louisville is beautiful."
That first night in Louisville, Betsy hardly slept. Images of the train station, the river, and the beautiful mansions floated around in her mind. One day, Betsy's aunt took her into the city where she marveled at the restaurants and the stores for shopping. They drove by the magnificent mansions on Alta Vista, a street that ran along the Ohio River. Betsy had acquired a glimpse of city life, and her fantasies of living as a grand lady found a niche in her dreams.
"I'll live in a grand home one day."
Johnny Wayne saw the change in Betsy when she returned to Beckton. She was restless and raved about Louisville and how wonderful it had been to be in the big city. What used to make Betsy happy bored her now. She yearned for more than Beckton had to offer. Johnny Wayne was concerned. Betsy's brother Bobby had proposed to Judy Haney and had set an August 11th wedding date. When Betsy woke up that morning, she had no idea this day would change her life forever. Everyone in the community was invited, and Betsy was Judy's maid of honor. Betsy wore a flowing pink chiffon dress and a simple white hat. Although the dress was not fancy, with her natural beauty and simplicity, Betsy looked stunning. Her dark hair glistened in the sun, and her bright blue eyes sparkled like the water on the back pond at midday. As the church filled, Betsy noticed a distinguished, well-dressed woman sitting on the bride's side of the church. Visiting relatives always stood out at weddings in Beckton, Kentucky. It was Judy's eccentric Aunt Beverly, who had a thoroughbred breeding farm just outside of Louisville. At the reception, Betsy asked Judy to introduce her to her aunt.
So pleased to meet you, ma'am. I love Louisville. I spent 3 weeks there in June. The city is so beautiful, and the Ohio River is absolutely majestic.
Aunt Beverly was impressed with Betsy's bright personality and found her naivete and appreciation for the big city charming.
How would you like to visit Europe, Betsy? I'm looking for a traveling companion this fall, and I believe you would be a delight.
That sounds wonderful!
Betsy, you can't leave. What about us?
Johnny Wayne?
I want to marry you, Betsy. Now that we've finished high school, I figured, my gosh, Betsy, we've been talking about it for years.
My lordy God in heaven!
I don't like it, Betsy. I don't like it one bit.
Johnny Wayne put his punch down on the table and solemnly walked outside. He was too sad to speak, and he didn't want to spoil Betsy's happiness or make her mad. In the same instance, Betsy's dreams were coming true. Johnny Wayne's dreams had shattered like broken glass. Betsy continued her conversation with Judy's aunt, and before the bride and groom left for their honeymoon, Betsy had agreed to accompany eccentric Aunt Beverly as her traveling companion on a cruise ship to Europe. Within a few days, arrangements had been made. Although Europe sounded like a fabulous opportunity, Betsy's family was not happy at all about her leaving. It would be the first time she had ever been away from home. Europe seemed so far away, and her mother was sick with worry, imagining all kinds of bad possibilities that might happen to her daughter.
It could be dangerous, Betsy. Remember those poor souls on the Titanic?
Oh, Mama, don't be silly. I'll be home before you know it.
3 weeks later, Betsy was on a train to New York City. Aunt Beverly had bought her a new wardrobe, and Betsy felt like she had to keep pinching herself to make sure she was not dreaming. Tears filled her eyes when she saw the Statue of Liberty, thinking of all the immigrants who came through Ellis Island with only what they could carry and a dream of a better life. Now her dream was coming true. Beverly was demanding, and it didn't take long for Betsy to know her place. Although she wore fine clothes and ate well, Aunt Beverly made it clear she was her servant, a lady's maid. Betsy made sure that Beverly's clothes were put away, having been laundered and pressed, and Betsy laid out Beverly's wardrobe after her bath. She spent long afternoons playing cards with Miss Beverly and fetching her every whim. Their European trip consisted of visits to England, Spain, France, and finally Italy. Betsy's favorite part of the trip was traveling on the train. She was amazed at how much of the English countryside reminded her of her home in Kentucky. When they visited Spain, she thought of conquistadors on their quest for gold in the New World. France made her think of Roman legions, and she loved visiting the castles, and of course, the French Riviera. When she was in Italy, she was in awe of the David in Florence and the breathtaking countryside in Tuscany. Rome made her feel like she was in a time warp as she imagined gladiators coming to life in the Roman Colosseum. Betsy's favorite time of day was during Miss Beverly's afternoon nap. This gave her some time to explore the sights on her own. The Italian men she found to be extremely attractive. Betsy saw looks of approval and heard admiring whistles when she bounced down the streets. Americana? Bella, amore. She had never had attention like this, and it felt good to be considered attractive and even sexy. After several glorious weeks in Europe, it was time to go home. The morning the ship pulled out of the seaport in Rome, Betsy couldn't help but think there was so much more to see and was feeling frustrated about returning to the farm in Kentucky. That afternoon, while Miss Beverly was snoring away in her cabin, Betsy found a chair to enjoy her last view of the Mediterranean Sea. A man who looked to be in his mid-20s approached her. He swept off his cap and took a bow.
Rome is a beautiful place. Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Lorenzo.
Nice to meet you, Lorenzo. My name is Betsy.
Like everyone who met her, Lorenzo was instantly charmed by Betsy's smile and bubbling personality. The fact that she seemed so fresh with a passion for life added to his attraction for her.
Who are you traveling with?
I am with my Aunt Beverly.
Betsy had decided quickly it was better to give the illusion that she was Beverly's niece and not her lady-in-waiting. Betsy was certainly dressed for the part. Beverly had been polishing her companion's social skills so that anyone might believe she had been born into a family of high standing. Betsy told Lorenzo that she was taking care of Aunt Beverly, and meeting her might not be such a good idea because she was sometimes delusional. Lorenzo had jet black hair, olive skin, and a pearly white smile. His eyes were hypnotic. He could make a woman feel like she was the only woman in the world worth spending time with. Betsy found it difficult to disagree with anything he said. Lorenzo told Betsy his father was a wealthy textile merchant and that he worked in the family business. Every afternoon at 1:30, while Miss Beverly was taking her nap, Betsy met Lorenzo on the deck of the ship where they had first spoken. She became lost in his charm and the fantasy of a secretive, exciting romance. Two nights before the ship reached port, Betsy slipped out. She and Lorenzo spent the whole evening bundled up under a blanket, looking at the stars, the moonlight shining on the deep Atlantic. His kiss was deep and passionate, and at the same time, soft and sweet. Her body tingled with desire, but her strong moral upbringing made her stop him when he attempted to make love to her. By the time the ship reached New York, Betsy was in love, or at least she thought so.
I love you, Elizabeth. Come with me to California. I'm going to San Francisco, and I want you to go with me.
Aunt Beverly was unaware of the romance going on between Betsy and Lorenzo. Betsy was in love with a handsome, romantic, rich Italian man and had forgotten all about Becton, Kentucky, or Johnny Wayne. She arranged to meet Lorenzo at the train station in Louisville on the day she was scheduled to return home. When they returned to Louisville, Miss Beverly paid Betsy the money she promised for services rendered.
Thank you, Betsy. It was a pleasure getting to know you.
Oh, Miss Beverly, thank you so much for all you did for me. I loved every minute, and I so appreciate having the opportunity.
You are welcome, Betsy, dear. Do stay in touch. Perhaps we can do this again.
After they exchanged their goodbyes, a taxi took Betsy to the train station. Her heart raced as she thought of her rich, handsome Lorenzo sweeping her off to San Francisco. Betsy knew she was breaking all the rules. Her desire for adventure had completely taken over her senses. Lorenzo was waiting for her on the train. By the time they reached Kansas City, Betsy and Lorenzo were lovers. No longer was she Betsy, a farm girl from Kentucky. She was now Elizabeth, in love with a handsome, wealthy Italian man named Lorenzo, who was sweeping her off to San Francisco on a romantic adventure full of mystery and intrigue. She was experiencing her own fairy tale, and this time she was the princess. Betsy and Lorenzo stayed a few nights in Chicago and then Kansas City. Lorenzo took her to fine restaurants, and Betsy reveled in the attention. The night before they reached Dallas, Betsy woke up to find Lorenzo gone. She put on her coat and found him in the club car playing poker. Betsy walked in just as Lorenzo showed a losing hand. A fat bearded man with a smelly cigar laughed as he collected all of the chips from the table. Lorenzo lost his temper and was invited to leave the room. Lorenzo was furious when he stood up and huffed away. He looked at Betsy with surprise.
What are you doing here?
His attitude startled her.
I was looking for you.
Betsy suddenly realized she didn't know this man. His breath reeked of liquor, and his hair was disheveled. There was a frightening darkness in his eyes Betsy had never seen before.
Let me have some money. I need to get betting a game.
Betsy wasn't the only one who had created an illusion. Lorenzo was a gigolo who made his living charming wealthy women and gambling in high-stake games. In only a moment, Betsy's dream had turned into a nightmare.
No, Lorenzo, no! I don't have money to give you.
The look on his face was both desperate and frightening.
I know. I can get what I lost right back. I was so close. I can get it back. I know I can. If you love me, you'll give me some money.
No, Lorenzo, no. I don't have money to give you. I'm not rich, Lorenzo. Miss Beverly isn't even my real aunt. I was her traveling companion. What about your family? Call your father.
You are a stupid girl. Stupid. Stupid girl. Go back to bed.
Betsy didn't know what to do. All night long she waited for Lorenzo to come back and tell her it was all a big misunderstanding and they were still in love. The next morning when the train pulled into Dallas, Betsy realized Lorenzo was gone. Sitting in a train station somewhere in Texas, Betsy felt alone and afraid. She couldn't go home. What would she tell her family? They would be so ashamed. And what about poor Johnny Wayne? How could she ever look at him again? She felt like God was punishing her. The only place Betsy wanted to be was Beckton, Kentucky, with the people who loved her. She sat at the train station. All she could do was cry. A beautiful, tall, blonde woman sat next to Betsy and handed her a Coca-Cola.
Thank you.
It's gotta be a man. That's always a man that makes a woman cry like that. I'm Ginger. What's your name?
Betsy. My name is Betsy.
Where you going, Betsy?
I don't know. I don't know.
You like cowboys?
I don't know. I don't know.
You like Texas?
I don't know. I don't know.
I live in San Angelo. Maybe I can help you work this out. You hungry?
I don't know. 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 I don't know.
Come on, kid. I'll buy you a sandwich.
It was a new day. Little did Betsy know, she was about to embark on another exciting adventure. Next stop, San Angelo, Texas.
He'll build a little home that's meant for two, from which I'll never roam, or what would you? And so all else above,